Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Fuad Malach. May Hashem grant the entire Kahal with a healthy, successful year filled with beracha, Torah, and mitzvot. May we all be signed and sealed in the books of life and good health. Thank you, Mr. Malach. Today's daf is being studied. Le'alu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechem began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Zayin Amud Rishon. And it is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. We'll start from the words Mikol Makom Kasha. Just to review, in yesterday's daf on Vav Amud Sheni, the Gemara there told a case about a Mavui Akum. A Mavui Akum, the way that she configured it for us, was a Mavui that was in the shape of a Het. If you look on Vav Amud Bet, you see that she himself actually gives you the configuration. And bottom line, you have two mivuot that are parallel to each other, and they are opened up to a reshut arabim on each respective side. So the question is, what type of adjustments do you need on such a mavui? So the Gemara said that we put on it two humrot. We put on it the humrah of Rav, and we put on it the humrah of Shemuel. So the Gemara explained what is the humrah of Rav and what is the humrah of Shemuel. So we said the humrah of Rav is that you treat the Mavui Akum like Mifulash, as if it is considered open on both sides. If it's considered on open both sides, so obviously you need a more serious adjustment than if you were just considering it a Mavui Satum. If it was considered close, all you need on the open side is a Mavui, or a, I'm sorry, all you need is a Lehi, or a Korah, and it's adjusted. However, you say it's a Mavui Mifulash, you need a more serious adjustment, which means you would need a Surat Apeta. So now, the Gemara then said, and we take the Humrah of Shemuel. What was Shemuel's Humrah? That when you have a Mavui Mifulash, you need actually on one side doors. That was the way he learned according to Beit Hillel. So now, that's the way Hananya actually learned according to Beit Hillel. And Shemuel was posek like Hananya. So the Gemara took the Humrot of both, meaning regarding the first question, how do you judge the Mavui Akum? Do you judge it Mifulash or Satum? Take the Humrah of Rav, look at it as Mifulash. Now, regarding the adjustment, Rav was lenient when it comes to the adjustment. Rav also said, all you need is a surat petah and a lechi. However, Shemuel was posek like the opinion that says, no, you need a lechi on one side, you need delatot on the other side. So they took the humrot of both. So the Gemara asked, we have a braita that says, you're not supposed to do that. That when you have a mahloket, or you have two different opinions, you're supposed to take one rabbi all the way through. Ben nekula, ben nehumra. But to go take the humrah of one and the humrah of the other and combine them, the Gemara actually says that that's a foolish thing to do. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's a ksil. It's foolish. So the Gemara is asking them, mikom makom kasha. The bottom line, how then did they take the humrah of Rav and the humrah of Shemuel? You have to take one shita consistently. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kule kerav avduha. Really, they were following Rav in totality, which means they were taking Rav Shita through and throughout. How is that possible? Which means Rav himself held that it's a Mavui Mifulash. Good, so he said it's a Mavui Mifulash. But he also held that on a Mavui Mifulash, all you need is a Surat HaPetah. However, that's what Rav said. But he said, "En morin ken." That's not what you tell the people. So he's, in his shita, he was posek like Tanakama of the Braita above that says Surat HaPetah fixes a Mavui Mifulash. But if somebody would come and ask him, he would say, no, you need doors. So therefore, when the Braita says, we treat it like a mifulash, or when the statement above said, you treat it like a mifulash, and that you need doors, it's actually Rav Shita through and throughout. Even though Rav was posek above like that, so at the petachs enough, that's not halacha ve'en morinken. Sometimes the rabbis say, listen, in principle the deen should be this. But in practicality, if somebody wants to know what he's supposed to do, sometimes the rabbis are more mahmir. Rav was more mahmir in the halakha of how to adjust a mavui mifulash. So therefore, the Gemara is really saying they were taking one consistent shita through and throughout, and that is Rav Shita, that is a mavui mifulash, and that you need doors on one side in order to fix it. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ul Rav Ada Barahava Amarav." But what about according to the opinion of Rav Ada bar Rahava? He says that Rav's deen was halakha umorinken, which means Rav not only said that the halakha is you just need a surat petach and a lehi, but that was his halakha in practice, which means it was halakha umorinken, and you rule it. So the question then is, so then you're saying two halakhot. You're saying one in the halakha of Rav and one in the halakha of Shemuel, lechumrah. How could you take both rabbis? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shizbi, ki lo avdin and ki humre de betre. When do we say that you're not to take the stringencies of two different rabbis? Hecha de satre ahadadeh. When the two stringencies contradict each other. Kegon shidra v'gulgol, like the case of the spine and the gulgolet would be the skull. If we learned early in the Masechet that a bone that is in a house, let's say, is without the flesh, let's say, does not have the ability to mitame be'ohel. It only has the ability to mitame be'maga u'masa. Flesh of a dead body, the flesh itself, that already can be mitame be'kezayit in an ohel. However, a bone of a corpse, if it's in the house, cannot bring tum'ah ohel, unless, we learned, you have the spinal column of the corpse in the house, or you have the gulgolet. Gulgolet, we said, is the skull that's also considered like a hashuv part, and therefore that, even though it's just bones, can bring tum'ah in the ohel. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a deen of how much bones of the skull and how much bones of the shidra, which means obviously if it's half the shidra, it's not going to bring tum'ah in the oil, or it's a half the skull, it's not going to bring tum'ah in the oil. So we want to know what is considered a gulgolet and what is considered a shidra. So the Gemara says, "Ditnan hashidra v'gulgolet." You have the spine and the gulgolet, or the skeleton of the head, meaning the skull, shahasru, that were lacking, means some of the bones in those sections were missing. Vekama hisaron b'shidra, how much is considered lacking that it will not bring tum'ah in the oil? How many bones could be missing that it's not considered a skull and not considered a shidra? So machloket bechamay omrim shte chuliot. Bet Shammai says, once it's missing already two chuliot, let's say two discs, so now already it's not considered a shidra, even though the rest of it's in the oil, it cannot bring tumat oil. Okay? Two discs. Now, if it's only missing one disc, it's considered a shidra, you have tumat oil. That's shitat bet Shammai. Ubet el omrim chulya ahat. Bet el says, no, even if it's missing one disc, it cannot bring tumat oil. So Bet Hillel is more lenient in this case, which means that even if the shidra is just missing one chuliyah, there is no tumat oil. Whereas Bet Shammai says, no, it's got to be missing two chuliyot in order to take it away from tumat oil. Now, regarding the skull, ubigilgolet, Bet Shammai amrim kimlo makdach. According to Bet Shammai, the shi'ur of a missing skull is the shi'ur of Makdach. We'll see what that means. Ubetelel omrim, and Betelel says, Kedeshi yinatel menahai v'yamot. Which means, v'yamut. missing from the skull according to Beit Din was the shi'ud, that if you take it away from a living person, he will die. Mm-hmm. What's the shi'ud of skull that you remove from a living person and that'll cause the person to die? That's the shi'ud, that if it's missing in the skull, it cannot bring to matzah. What is that shi'ud? So the Mefarshim says it's the size of an isar. That's a certain type of coin. And Achim gave a shi'ud to that. The point is, we have a mahloket bet shamay bet hillel legabet tumat ohel. What is considered enough that's missing from the skull and the shadra not to bring the tumah? Now the Gemara says, "Ve'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel ve'chen le'anyan terefa," and the same mahloket applies to a terefa. What is a terefa? You have an animal that you slaughtered it, right? Now, in making your investigations after the Shechita, you're checking the internal organs, you're checking the bone, you want to make sure that there's no blemishes or wounds to the animal where the animal would not be able to live for more than, let's say, 12 months if it had that wound. And the Hachamim go and discuss exactly what is considered a wound and a blemish that makes an animal a terefa or not. So regarding the skull and the shidra, there's also shi'urim. So the Gemara says, the same machloket that we say, by let's say the shidra, where Beit Shammai said if it's missing two vertebrae, it cannot bring tumah in the house, but that will also, if it's missing two vertebrae, that's going to be considered a terefa, which is that's going to make the animal taref. I mean, the same shi'ur that they gave for tumah, that's the shi'ur that they gave for tarfiyut. Again, Beit Shammai says, if you have the shidra in the house, how much missing in the shidra does not make tumat ohel? Two. That means, let's go the other way. If, according to Beit Shammai, you're only able missing one, so therefore, for tumat ohel, you're going to have. However, for tarfiyut, it's not going to be, because it's only missing one. So you see, according to Beit Shammai, you're mahmir by tumat, comes out of kula by terefa. Beit Hillel is the exact opposite. Beit Hillel says that for tum'ah, how much has to be missing for tum'ah? He says one. Which means, if this vertebrae is missing one disc, and it's in the oil, already that's not considered a vertebrae, it's considered chaser, and therefore it's not going to mean tumah. That's a kula. But by the animal, that's going to mean what? If it's missing one vertebra, one disc, it's going to be considered a terefa. So therefore, now let's imagine somebody wants to take the chumrot of both. The chumrot of both in this case obviously contradict each other. Which means if a guy wants to take the chumrah of Beit Shammai and the Chumrah of Beit Hillel, he wants to say that in Tum'ah, I'm going to Mahmir like Beit Shammai. That what? That if it's missing one, I'm still going to say that the house is Tameh. And I'm going to take the Chumrah of Beit Hillel by Tarfiyut. That what? I'm going to say that if it's missing it's going to be tarif. Now, according to Beit Shammai, it's not tarif. So already you're taking two humrot, and the opposite would also be true. If you take the humrah of Beit Hillel and the humrah of Beit Shammai, both ways, either by tum'ah or by terefah, you cannot hold both of them simultaneously. Because whatever you're going to say by this shita, the other shita is going to take it, lekula. So therefore, that's when we say you can't take two humrot. When it's impossible to reconcile both humrot together. If you hold this humrah, so you have to hold the kulah. If you hold the kulah, you have to hold the humrah. So therefore, in that case, however, in the case we're talking about over here by the mavui akum, taking these two humrot are not interdependent on each other. There's two separate items, which means you can hold it in Mavui Mifudash, like one Humrah, and then you can hold it, you have to make an adjustment with Delatot. they're not interdependent mahlokot, that if you're going to hold like one, then you're going to affect the other shita. So therefore, in such a case, the Gemara says, you can take the two chumrot. When can you take two chumrot? When they're interdependent on each other. Which means if you take the chumrah of one, then it's going to be a kula somewhere else. And if you take the kula, it'll be a chumrah somewhere else. That's why the Gemara says, if a guy takes one chumrot, he's a fool. No, he's a fool. Because, what are you doing? You think you're being mahmir, but you're really being mekir somewhere else. You know, by taking the chumrah shita. Let's read that inside Nashi, just to get the Nashi's inside. Let's read Nashi kegon shidra v'gulgolet. Kegon shidra v'gulgolet shelmet. Right? Teflegu b'debet shamay lo avi hasaron elab bet choliot. I'll quote a bit shamay. If it's missing two discs, it's considered chaser. Ve'im hasra cholya ahat. But if it's only missing one, adayin mitameh be'oil. Well, I'll still bring to mind the oil. Ve'gabet terefa nameh lo have chesaron. Right? And by terfiyut also, if it's just missing one, it's not going to render it taref. וכשרה, לא בכשרה. ואבי טעמה דבית שמי חומרה לגבי מת. So בית שמי is מחמיר לגבי מת. That what? That is coming along to say that if it's missing one, it'll still be טומאה. That is already considered a חומרה. ולבית הלל דמי חסרון הוא, בית הלל says what? That even missing one disc is considered lacking. אבי חומרה לגבי טרפה. He's mahmir legabe terefa, which means, according to him, once already you're missing one, the animal is going to be considered a terefa still. So therefore, you have a chumrah by terefa. Uman David betrefa kebetelel uch bet shamay bemet haviksil. He's a fool. Why? Dea satrin of the adade. Dea chav yasaron. Dea chelo avesaron. You can't take contradictory views over here. So therefore, in such a case, we say that two humrot are non-acceptable. However, the Gemara continues, Aval hecha de lo satri adade, but where they do not contradict each other, avdinan, so then we're able to follow them. And therefore, in the case that we just said, in the case of the mavui, they do not contradict each other. The Gemara asks, Vehecha de satri adade, lo avdinan. Now we're asking another question. You're telling me that where the chumrot contradict each other, like in the case of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel with the Tarfiyot and the Tuma'ah, so then you cannot take the two chumrot because they contradict each other, you cannot hold both. So you're saying, well, I'll show you a case where a rabbi did take two chumrot according to different opinions, and you can't really hold both at the same time. So Gemara says, what was the case? Matib, Rav Meshar Shia, Maaseh, Rabbi Akiva. There was a story where Rabbi Akiva, Shiliket Etrog Be'had Be'Shevat. He picked an etrog off the tree on one shevat, not chodesh shevat. V'nahag bo shene usurin. And now when it came to giving maaser, because you have to give maaser on your fruits. Now let's review the schedule of maaser payments. In the second year of the Shemitah cycle, besides the stuff that you give to the Kohen and the Levi, you have to give maaser sheni. Maaser sheni is you take an additional 10% of the fruit and you go to Yerushalayim and you eat it over there. In the third year of the Shemitah cycle, instead of giving maaser sheni, you give maaser ani. I mean, you give the same 10%, you got to go up and give it to the poor people. So now, Rabbi Akiva went on a Chodesh Shevat. He had a sefek. What year is this etrog considered? Is it second year, and therefore I'm obligated to give maaser sheni? Or is it third year, and I'm obligated to give maaser ani? What was it dependent on? It's dependent on a mahloket, Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, when do you consider the new year for Ma'asrot? Bet Shammai says the new year for Ma'asrot starts on Rosh Chodesh Shevat. So what? Then he picked it on Rosh Chodesh Shevat. So therefore it's already the next year. So it's considered the third year. If it's the third year, he has to give Ma'asir. Ani. Bet Hillel says, when does the new year for trees start? Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shevat. So therefore he picked it on Aleph Shevat. So this is really the second year. So the Bi'akiva had a Safik. Do we go like Bet Shammai? Do we go like Bet Hillel? So you know what he did? In order to get around the problem, he gave two ma'asrot. He gave ma'asir ani, and he gave ma'asir sheni. Now, this is a case where, according to Bet Shammai, it's clearly the third year. You don't give Maaser Ani, and according to Georgi Maaser Sheni, and according to Bet Hillel, it's clearly the second year, you don't give Maaser Ani, you have to give Maaser Sheni. So these are two Humrot that they cannot coexist, which is the one that says this doesn't say that, the one that says that doesn't say this. So how is Rabbi Akiva able to do both simultaneously? So the Gemara says, מעשה ברבי עקיבא שניקט אתרוג באחד בשבת ונהג בו בית עשורין אחד כדברי בית שמאי ואחד כדברי בית הלל. So the Gemara is asking the question. So the Gemara answers, רבי עקיבא גמרי אסתפק לה. So no, רבי עקיבא, his tradition was in doubt, meaning he was holds like בית הלל. He forgot what בית הלל holds. He wasn't even interested in בית שמאי שיטה. He forgot, does בית הלל hold Aleph Shvat, or does he hold Tedvav Shvat? So therefore, Velo Yada Ibetilel Behad Beshvat Amur, Ibehamisar Beshvat Amur. Which means, when do we say that you can't take two rows and you're taking two different opinions? If he was going like Bet Shammai and Legabe this and Bet Hillel Legabe that, then already you can't do that. However, he's still, I'm a Bet Hillel guy, but what? I don't know what Bet Hillel holds. I forgot, my tradition is questionable. Did you hold the Aleph or 15? So therefore what did he do? He was Mahmir. Now Tosfot just explains to us, how is he Mahmir? Did he actually take two Ma'asrot? Did he give 20% that year? So Tosfot just says, he said al tenai, which is he took one Ma'asir and he did it on condition. Meaning he said, if this is considered Maaser the second year, then I want this Tepeset to be considered Maaser Sheni. Uh-huh. And if this is considered the third year, I want it to be considered Maaser Ani. Now, what did he do? It's Kodesh. How can he give Maaser Sheni to an Ani? So he redeemed it. He took the Kiddushah of the food and put it on a coin. And then he took the food and gave it to the Ani. So therefore, Miman HaShech, he was able to solve both issues. The Ani ate the food because it wasn't considered Kodesh anymore, because he redeemed the Maaser Sheni on a coin. Therefore, he was able to take the coin, he took up to Jerusalem, and he bought food with it. So therefore, he didn't give 20%. He gave 1/10%. He just was able to work it out both ways. In any event, the point is, in the conclusion of this sugya, we have two ways to reconcile the question that we had above. One way we reconcile the question by the Mavui, how did we take two Humrod? We didn't take two Humrod. We're going with Rav straight across. Because even Rav himself holds the Humrod that you need doors by a Mavui, Akum, that we treat it like a Mavui Mifudash. So therefore it's not two Humrod. Second answer, the two Humrod are not interdependent on each other. They have two different reasons. Which is, one is how you consider Mavui, and then one is how do you adjust the Mavui. One has got nothing to do with the other. Therefore you could take such two Humrod. When did the rabbi say that I want you to take two Humrod? On Machlokot that are interrelated with each other. For example, if you say it here, it's going to affect something else. For example, if you're going to say the Deen of Tum'ah, it's going to affect the Deen of Terefah. Like the case of Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. So the Gemara asks, oh, Rabbi Akiva, he took two contradictory opinions that cannot coexist. He says, no, he wasn't reckoning Bet Shammai's opinion. He was going straight in Bet Hillel. He just didn't know what Bet Hillel holds. When do we say you can't take two Humrot that are interconnected with each other? When it's two different opinions. But if it's the same opinion, you just don't know what it is, then you could be Mahmir. Comes the Gemara and continues. Yativ Rav Yosef Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna. Yativ Kamar, he was sitting and saying, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Machloket Besirtiya Mikan, Besirtiya Mikan, Upaltiya Mikan, Upaltiya Mikan. Which means, now we're going back to discuss a case of a Mavui Mifudash. Which means, we said if you have a Mavui that's opened up on both sides to the Rishut HaRabim. So we want to discuss now what type of Rishut HaRabim, or what type of domain is on both sides of this Mavui. So the Gemara says either a Sartiya or a Paltiya. If you remember in Masechet Shabbat, these were two different styles of Rishut HaRabim, but they were both Rishut HaRabim. Sartiya is regular roads, which means thoroughfares. Sartiya is thoroughfares that again have the width of the Rishut Terabim, like we said, 16 Amod, and according to Rashi, have the population of people that go through it. These are major thoroughfares of the city of Saltaya. Paltaya are like the streets of the marketplace. That's the Hadash Shuk, where again, there's the Rabim are traveling in such marketplaces. Point is, to be a Mavui Mefulash, you need full-fledged Rishut HaRabims on both sides. And then you're going to have a Machloket. Meaning, one rabbi will say, just put a Lehi on one side and put a Surat HaPetah on the other side. And the other rabbi says, no, you put a Lehi on one side and put doors on the other side. That's a Mavui Mefulash. You need a Rishut HaRabim on one side and a Rishut HaRabim on the other side. Either Sartaya, Sartaya, or Paltaya, Paltaya. Those are just different styles of Rishut HaRabim. Rashi, or it can be one and one for that matter. That's correct. Rashi, Sartaya Upaltaya. That's the first white line of Rashi. Shten Rishut HaRabim. Both these are just names of different Rishut HaRabim. Ezu Rishut HaRabim, Sartaya Upaltaya. Sartaya Derech Hiluch Bnei Adam. That's the thoroughfares where people walk. Paltaya Rehov LeShevakim. That's the streets where they have the marketplace and have the business, okay? Now, Gemara continues. Aval, however, Sartaya Mikan, Ubika'a Mikan. Let's say on one side of the Mavu you have a Rishut HaRabim, and the other side of the Mavu you have a Bika'a. Bika'a is a valley. Again, we learned in Masechet Shabbat that a valley has a din of a Karmelit. It's not a public thoroughfare, so because of the valley. There's no thoroughfare through it. People don't travel through the valleys as much. Therefore, it's considered a karmelit. It's a rabbinical domain. It's not considered a Rishut Yachid either, because it doesn't have walls. So therefore, if you have a deoraita, meaning a Rishut HaRabim on one side of the Mavui, and a Bika'a, a rabbinical domain on the other, so the, or Bika'a Mikan, or Bika'a Mikan, or let's say you have two Karmelites on both sides of the Mavui, Ose Surat HaPetach Mikan, Velehi Vekora Mikan. And everybody agrees you don't need doors. Everybody agrees on one side put your Surat HaPetach, on the other side put your Lecha, your Korah, and you're home free. So comes the Gemara and says, Hashtas Sartaya Mikan, Ubika'a Mikan, Ose Lo Surat HaPetach Mikan, Velehi Vekora Mikan. Bika'a Mikan, Ubika'a Mikan, Bebaya. Which means, what do you need to tell me two cases for? If you tell me a case where I have a Rishut HaRabim on one side and a Bika'a on the other side, all you need is a Surat HaPetach. Kol Shekin, if you have a Bika'a on one side and a Bika'a on the other side, which means in the case of a Rishut HaRabim and a Bika'a, you don't need doors. Kol Shekin, where it's Bika'a and Bika'a. So why does the Gemara have to tell us both cases? Isn't it obvious? In a case where there's two Rishut HaRabims, okay, there we have a Machloket. Is Surat HaPetach enough, or you actually need doors? But if it's a Rishut HaRabim with a Bika'a, everybody says Surat HaPetach is enough. Then it says, and if you have a Bika'a and a Bika'a, of course, it's Pashut, Bika'a and Bika'a. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say, Sartaya Mikan u Bika'a Mikan, Na'asa ki Bika'a Mikan u Bika'a Mikan. So all it's saying is that when you have a Rishut HaRabim on one side, and a Bika'a on the other side, it's like you have a Bika'a and a Bika'a. But it's not coming to tell you an additional Hiddush. It's coming to tell you that even in a case where you have the Hiddush, is really when you have a Rishut HaRabim on one side. And it's just saying, even that case where there's a Rishut HaRabim on one side, it's like it's a Bika'a and a Bika'a on both sides. And therefore you do not need an adjustment. So the Sfat Emet says there is a Hiddush here. The Hiddush is in the case of the Bika'a and the Bika'a. So obviously on one side you're going to put a Surat HaPetach, and on one side you're going to put a Lehi. Now, does it matter which side you put the Surat HaPetach? No, because it's both Bika'a. Either side you put the Surat HaPetach, it's in the Bika'a. That's the Hiddush of saying that if you have a Rishut HaRabim and a Bika'a, it's like a Bika'a and a Bika'a, meaning you could put the Surat HaPetach on any side you want. Don't think you could only put the Surat HaPetach on the Rishut HaRabim side, but you could even put the Surat HaPetach on the Bika'a side and the Lehi on the Rishut HaRabim side. That's why the Braita said it in such a way to teach us that Hiddush. And the Gemara continues, Umisayim ba Meshemed Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef concluded his statement by quoting Rav Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Im haya mavui kale lirhava, if you have a mavui that's open to a rehava. Rehava is the courtyard in the back of the house. It's really not called a courtyard. It's an area, and it's called a rehava because it's not as commonly used as a chaser. Of course, the chaser in the front of the courtyard, people use it. People enter it. People exit it. The backyard would be a back lot, exactly. And therefore, the Gemara says, if you have a mavui, it is opened on one side to the Rishut Rabim. Behind the mavui is this rehava, and behind the rehava, it is open to Rishut Rabim as well. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in such a case, en sarich klum, you don't need anything. What does it mean, you don't need anything? Meaning we don't treat this as a mavui mefulash, and therefore it does not need the adjustment of a surat ha-petach. It's enough to put a lehi on the side of the mavui with the Rishut Rabim. On the other side of the rehava, it's considered already closed in the sense that the opening is less than 10 amot on that side. It's not a mavui, it's a rahav, and so long as you have some walls that are jutting out on the side, as we see in our picture books, if you look in your picture books, on Daf Zayin, it is picture number 41. Okay, so let's look at the picture together and analyze. You have your mavui, okay, behind it you have your rehava, the Rishut Rabim on both sides. Rav Yehuda considers this scenario a mavui satum, hence all you need as an adjustment is a lehi in front of the mavui on the, you know, where the Rishut Rabim is. In the back you don't need anything. Again, the rehava you can carry him, because you see by the Rishut Rabim you have the walls that are coming out. For a rehava that's considered enough, so long as the opening, the entrance, is less than 10 amot wide. Okay, so that's what Rav Yosef quoted Rav Yehuda as saying. Let's read the Rashi together. En sarich klum letaken ota petha shel tzad harhava. Meaning, you don't need any tikkun between the mavui and the rehava. If you see in the picture, you see by the there's yellow dots at that border, and he tells you in sarich l'takeno, that area over there, you don't need anything. Ela rosh hamefulash l'rishut harabim, but the head that's open to the rishut harabim sarich lehi o kora ketorat mavui satum. Like a mavui that is satum. Okay, and that is the hidush. Now, she goes on to tell us that you're not going to need as well any irubin, meaning between the two domains of the rehava and the mavui itself. Because the rehava is an area where people do not really dwell, and they don't really walk in that area itself, and go back and forth. And therefore, and they walk from the front of the house, they don't walk from the back of the house. And therefore, legaber joining the two domains themselves, forget about the tikkunim that we're doing outside, part of the Rishut Rabim, the domains themselves, normally when you have different domains, for example, you have a chatzir and homes in the chatzir, those homes have to become united as well in the common chatzir. And for that matter, two chatzirot in a mavui, the chatzirot themselves also need to become united. So here you might think, maybe I have to make a shituf, or a joining between the mavui and the rehava. That she tells us it is not necessary. His lashon is, and I will quote, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Va'afilu lo irbu and mahen, even though there was no iruv, the hanami peshita, the rehava lo ba'yel le'irube. You don't need to ma'arev it. Why? The stam rehava en ba diurim latzet velavo. Right? People are not coming in and out of the rehava. It's the back house. The en tashmishat tadir. Its usage is not so prevalent. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda's din is. To review, the case of rehava has a din of a mavui satum, adjusted with the lehi, and now you could carry throughout. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar the Abayel Rav Yosef." Abayel tells Rav Yosef, "Had Rav Yehuda de Shmuel Hava." that statement that you quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda must be from Shmuel. Now he didn't quote it in the name of anybody, but the Gemara is deducing, Abba is saying it has to be Shmuel that made that statement. Why? De'i de Rav, because if you're going to say that Rav made the statement by the Hava, Kasha de'Rav ad-de'Rav betarte, we're going to have a twofold question against Rav. De'amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav, because Rav made a statement, Mavui shenifratz b'milu'o lachatzer. You have a Mavui shenifratz b'milu'o lachatzer that is totally opened and breached into a chatzer, meaning imagine the picture number 42 it is, where you see the mavui, right, is instead of open to a rehava like in the previous picture, now it's open to a courtyard, the front of the homes, it's open until the nifritza chatzer kenegdo, and the chatzer is open to the reshut harabim. So therefore you have reshut harabim on both sides. What does Rav say? Chatzer muteret. It is permissible to carry in the chatzer, because the chatzer itself is considered enclosed, because you have the walls that are coming out on the side, which is considered a petach to the chatzer. That's all you need. You don't need any lehis and koraz for a chatzer, so long as you have the walls that are coming out of both sides, and it is less than 10 amot in its petah, so the chatzer is permissible to carry. Umavui asur. However, to carry in the mavui it's asur, unless you make a tzurat hapetah. That's what we're thinking now. Why? Because we're going to consider this a mavui mefulash, because it is opened on both sides. So right away you see a stira here. Because if Rav made the first statement by the Hava, there you told me, even though it's opened up, it's flush on both sides, a Rishut HaRabim, you called it Satum. And here right away, Rav, you're telling me it's opened up on both sides and you're calling it Mefulash. So one stira is the angle of Mefulash. What is the Tarte? What is the second stira? So for that, we will read Rashi. Rashi is in the Dibura Mathil Umavui Asur. Kasalka Datach. Now again, this is in the Hava Amina, when we're trying to make the question. Medenakat v'nifritza haser kenegdo. Why did Rav give a case where the Hatser is open to the Reshut HaRabim? Obviously, from the fact that he said Hatser nifritza kenegdo, because there's something that this Reshut HaRabim on that side is going to do. What is it going to do? Mishum de merzi kemavui mifulash. Because by the fact that it's opened that Hatser to Reshut HaRabim, now it'll give it a din of a Hatser of a mavui mifulash, because it's open on both sides. So therefore, kasara, that's why it's asur. Velav mishum de nifratz lachatser. The issue here is not because the mavui is to the hatser. I mean, the mavui and hatser combination alone is not the issue here. Meaning, the intra-eruv situation between the two domains is not the story here. The story here must be the two reshut harabims. And that's what Rav is saying. Since you have the two reshut harabims, because the hatser is nifrat, the outside, so therefore it's considered a mavui mifulash, therefore you're going to need a tzurat tapeta. But if it wasn't for that problem, you would not have a problem with the chatzer and the mavui. Meaning these domains over here would not be osed one another. Again, she says velav mishum de nifratz lachatzer. Meaning the only concern of Rav was mifulash issue. However, get rid of the mifulash issue, you would be able to carry in the mavui, because you don't need an eruv with the chatzer. Good? Now, the Rav Yehuda, that's the first statement, medenakat rehava, from the fact that he chose an illustration. The case of rehava, ashmi'ina, what is it teaching us? Dimishum mifulash lo mitzar. Which means the issue, obviously, he holds is not an issue of mifulash. As a matter of fact, if you even look at the statement that he said when he quoted it, it was imayam mavui kalel rehava. He specifically did not say that the rehava is opened to the reshut harabim, like in the case of the chatzer. Right, the word v'nifritza is not said by rehava. Why? Because that's not the issue. The issue is it's satum.
So then why did he choose only a case of Rehava? For that matter, he could have chose a case of Hasir. Because you're telling me it's not considered Nifnitza, so therefore it's not a case of Mifudash. Ela must be that if it was a Hatzir, it would be a problem. You know why? Because you would need an Eruv between the Mavui and the Hatzir. Meaning, by Mavui and Rehava, I'll tell you, you don't need an Eruv because there's no dwellers, and therefore it's not really used so much. Therefore, it's not considered two domains. However, Rav Yehuda is telling you, if it was a Hatzir, you're going to have a problem. So that would be another contradiction between Rav and Rav. If you say Rav made the first statement by Rehava and Rav did make the second statement by Hatzir, your two stirot are as follows. Number one, parutz to parutz. Why do you consider the Rehava case not mefulash? And the case of the Hatzir, yes, mefulash. And secondly, according to the first statement, it's mashma with in a chatzer without an eruv, it's a problem. And according to the second statement, it's mashma, no. Only the mifulash is a problem. But the eruv problem between mavui and chatzer is not an issue. Let's continue reading that in the Rashi, because the Rashi summarizes it at the end and says, Aval, ihavi kalela chatzer, meaning in Rav Yehuda's case, if there was open to a chatzer, asri ale. Now, when the kama mefanesh tamay, or later the Gemara is going to explain that she says, v'hainu dekasha derav aderav betarte. Now we understand the double contradiction of imishum mefulash. That's one contradiction. Imishum haniflatz lachatzer. Or the case of Eruv, the Asli Ale Bene Hatzer, right? The Bene Hatzer are going to Oser the Bene Mavui, the Nifratza Mavui Bimlo, because it's opened to each other, the Rishuta Asuralo. And therefore, we have a klal. Let's explain this principle that Rashi throws in at the end over here. A principle of Bene Hatzer, the Nifratza Mavui Bimlo, the Rishuta Asuralo. That means you have a mavui. It is breached or opened to an area that is forbidden to it. Meaning, according to the Yehuda, since you need an eruv between the mavui and the chaser, and the mavui is open to the chaser, so certainly you cannot carry from the mavui to the chaser. That goes without saying, without an eruv. But according to the Yehuda, he's telling you, you can't even carry in the mavui itself since it is open to the chaser, so that already it becomes asur in itself. Now, according to Rav, Rav will hold no. The only issue was because it was mifulash. Settle the mifulash issue by putting your surat apeta, then you could carry in the mavui. Why could you carry in the mavui? Because he holds you don't need an eruv between the two. Now we review. We review the two points of stira from Rav to Rav. Point number one is the obvious one. In the first case, when it was open to the Rehava, we considered it Satum. When it's open to the Chaser, we're calling it Mifulash. So you have a Stira, obviously. In the first case, Satum. Second case, Mifulash. The second question is really a question from the implications. According to the first case of Rehava, it was Mashma that since it was a Rehava, and you're considering it Satum, you have no problem. Mashma, same case by a Chaser, you would have a problem. What's going to be the problem? Obviously, because the Mavui is opened up to the Hatzir, and we're going to say that without an Eruv, these domains are Asur to each other, and therefore, since the Hatzir is Oser the Mavui itself becomes forbidden to carry. That's the Klal that Rashi said at the end again, the Nifratza Mavui b'milu'ol Rishuta Asuralo, it itself becomes Asur. However, according to Rav, that is not so. Because Rav said, when it's, you have the case of the Mavui open to the Hatzir, the only issue is that it's Mifudash. And that's why he gave the case where the Hatzir is open to the Shuta, because that was your issue. The Hatzir was Nifratz. Solve that issue with a Surat Apeta and you're good. So, and we'll see why exactly he holds you good. But that would be a second contradiction if you say that both statements were made by Rav. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef comes along and responds. Oh, sorry, let's just read inside. Fourth line. Ve'amai leveke mavui shekalel rehava.
Why don't you say that the case of the chaser should be similar to the case of the mavoi that's opened up the rechava? Amar leh, so Rav Yosef says, ana lo yada'na. I really don't know exactly who made this statement. I mean, when I quoted above Amar of Yehuda, in the case of the rechava, I don't know if Shmuel said it, but I know the following story. Uvda hava bedura. There was bedura dereuta. There was a story in a certain village of shepherds. Mavui shekalel rechava. There was a mavui that opened up into a rechava, into the backyard. Hava. Ve'ata lekamed Rav Yehuda. They came in front of Yehuda. They want to know what's the deen. Ve'lo itzreche ve'la mideh. And clearly he said, you don't need anything. Meaning it's considered satum. All you need is a lehi on the side of the mavui that's open to a shoot and a beam. And that's it. Now, ve'ikasha mishemed rav. And if by saying that this statement of Rabbi Yehuda was said in the name of Rav, it's going to cause a problem in another statement of Rav. Tevem Shemed Shmuel. He's all right. So saying that it was said in the name of Shmuel, but look, Hashemid, you won't have any questions. So that's the first way to resolve it and say you're right. The case of Rechava was said by Shmuel. The case of Hasid was said by Rav. No stirot. Comes and gives us a barash. Tadamal Rav Sheshat Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Now that we have a statement of these rabbis and they add some light to the situation, we can have an alternate answer. What did they say? They made a difference in the case of the chatzer. They said it makes a difference if there was an eruv between the two domains or not. Meaning, when you have the mavui and it's opened up on both sides, really, I can tell you, it's also considered satum. Just like the case of the rehava. The issue over here is not a mifulash issue. It is satum. So what's the issue? Why should the people of the mavui be asur? You know why the people in the mavui are asur? Because it's an eruvin issue and you didn't make an eruv. And since you didn't make an eruv, and they're opened up to a chatzer that's osir them, so you can't even carry in the mavui itself. However, because of the deen of by parutz lemakom ha'osir, it itself becomes asur as well. However, if you had an eruv between them, you have no problem. Again, it's satum. Lehi will adjust that, and eruv covers the rishiyot to make them as one, and therefore you have no problem. And therefore, I can say like this. I can say both statements were said by Rav. Meaning like this. The first statement I could say was made by Rav by the Rehava. That's easy. Because it's Satum. You don't need an Eruv at all in that case. Because Rehava is the backyard. The backyard is no dwellers over there. So it's really not considered they're going to osir the people of the Mavui. So that's a case where without an Eruv Bechlal, it is okay. Satum plus the fact that the domains are not osir each other, you can carry in all the domains. In the case of the Hasir, however, it will make a difference. And we'll say like this. When it's said that the chaser is opened up to the Reshut HaRabim, don't misinterpret that we were focusing on mifulash issues. No, we were not concerned about mifulash issues. That is not the concern. The only concern was eruv issues between the chaser and the mavui. And you know what? You do need a eruv. If you have an eruv between the two, no problem. Then already the mavui is mutar. And the chaser is mutar anyway. However, if you don't have an eruv, in a chanamir, the mavui will be asur because it's open to a reshut that is osir. It, the chaser will remain mutar, but the mavui is asur. Therefore, both statements can be coincide with the opinion of Rav. Only question is, so why then did you make a focus that it's parutz to the reshut harabim? Why, those words, parutz reshut harabim, imply that it was a mifulash. So Rashi takes care of that. Rashi says, in the Buddha Matfil, kan she'irbo, kan she'lo irbo, kilomar. Hai mavui asur de ka'amarat, yesh chiluk padavar. It depends. She pa'amim asur, pa'amim mutar. How? Irbo b'ne hasenim b'ne mavui. If the eruv was done between those two domains, b'ne mavui mutarim. they had the asar le rav, because the reason why Rav said mavui asur, lav mishum mifulash ka asar le, not because it's mifulash on both sides of the shoot rabim, kede mukminan le kaman, bezesh lo gezer, like we're going to learn later on, vahay nifretza haser kenegdo, so why did it say that ahad nifretza haser kenegdo, which is mashma, the issue is that it's open to shoot rabim, mishum rebutad de haser nakat, it's teaching you a hidush in the haser itself, דאפלגב דרבים נכנסים לה בזו ויוצאים לה בזו, even though it's open to a thoroughfare where people are walking in and out of it, אפילו אחי שריה, still the חצר itself is always מותר, why? הועיל ונפרצת בפחות מעשר דחשיב כפתח חסר. Which means the חידוש of the breach in that wall was nothing to do with the מבוי. It's not affecting the mavui of to make a mifulash issue. The hadush is that the chaser is mutar even though it is open to a reshut terabim. And therefore you might say, well, maybe it's open to the reshut terabim, maybe it itself cannot be mutar. No, since it has walls coming out, and if the breach is less than 10 amot, even though it's open to the reshut terabim, that is considered enough to carry in the chaser. But the real issue is here what? The issue is the relationship between the mavui and the chatzir. And therefore, Rav will say, it depends. You made an Eiruv? No problem. Then already the domains, the chatzir cannot usir the mavui. And therefore, you can carry in the mavui itself. Therefore, mavui mutar. The chatzir like, was always mutar anyway. You didn't make an Eiruv? Okay, then Rav will tell you, asur. Because the mavui is opened up to a domain that is osir it, and therefore it itself becomes asur, based on the rule that we saw. Now, in the case of a rechava, different dynamic. Of course, it's considered satum. Right? We're not going to consider it mifulash, because bottom line, mifulash is only in a case where it's, you know, a mavui, which is the shoot that is on both sides. Here you have a domain separating, so it's not considered mifulash. And by the rechava, even without eruv, it's okay. Because the rechava is a backyard. Backyard, as we said, is not so commonly used, and it's not an influx of people in the backyard. Therefore, such a domain cannot osir the mavui. So the mavui is mutar, the rechava definitely is mutar, so long as you put a lehi at the end to take care of your mavui, satum, issues, and problem. So it comes out we have two ways of reconciling. Either to say the first statement was Shemuel by the Chava, and the second statement of Hasid was Rav. Then you have to say the issues over here were Mifulash. That was the issue by Hasid. That he holds. The issue is, why do we have to say the case of the Mavui was, or the case of the Hasid was open to the Reshut Rabim? Because we needed to give you a situation where it was considered Mifulash. Therefore he's saying you have to adjust it with a Surat HaPetach. But the implication was that once you settle that, you don't have the intra Eiruv issue. So that was the contradiction to the first case. Therefore we had to say one is Shemuel, one is Rav. The way we answer the second answer is no. Mifulash was never a situation over here. Was never a concern. It's always considered set. The issue was over here. Did you have an eruv? You didn't have an eruv. If you had an eruv, no problem. Mavui mutar, haser mutar. No eruv, haser mutar. Mavui asur. Baruch Adonai Olam.